Welcome back one and all to another day here at The Damage Report with me, John Arola, and joining us once again, contributor to Rebel HQ as well as content creator in her own right, Yasmin Leah Khan. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, John. Happy to be here.
Great to have you here. It's an exciting time in the world. I know that you often, you cast your eyes abroad for the news, and I'm assuming much of what you're seeing is fire. So that's exciting. But we're going to be talking about a little bit of foreign policy. And in fact, we're going to be having a fun little interview coming up. So more details on that to come. What's been new with you? What have you been focusing your work on recently?
Yeah, so just now I just worked on a piece for Rebel HQ where we were talking about the new MAGA, the Mothers Against Greg Abbott, and the new ad that they just put out. And kind of, you know, we talked about, we unpacked the different ways that demographics vote in America, in Texas mm-hmm. and the United States, about specifically how white women voted overwhelmingly, not overwhelmingly, but they did vote to elect Donald Trump. And also overwhelmingly in Texas, they voted for Greg Abbott and Donald Trump. Here. So we kind of look at all that and see what we can extrapolate about the future of Texas voters.
Awesome. You know, I knew you were going to be doing that. And do you know how I knew you were going to be doing that?
How'd you know?
Because you posted on TikTok about it. Did all of you watching know you can follow Yasmin on TikTok?
I did. I posted what's your account name? Half an hour ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's your account name there?
Same as my Instagram at YazK. I don't really understand TikTok yet, but I'm getting there. 5 Z's. Thank you. Thank mm-hmm. you for specifying. YAZ.
That needs to be your logo. Is 5 Z's. But anyway, yeah, Yaz is on TikTok. Oh, by the way, The Damage Report is on TikTok at The Damage Report. Also, I am on TikTok at John Iderola.
You and the show. Yeah.
That's probably why I saw it so quickly. Yes. And we post little excerpts from the show as well as some original content. And occasionally one of my dogs shows up on a TikTok, so you can go follow us there. For now though, we're gonna dive back into politics and we have a lot to talk about. Not only the dire state of our our climate, casual transphobia coming from people who regrettably have been given political power, an attempt to absolutely destroy the US education system, or at least finish it off, I suppose, and more from Herschel Walker. So you know it's gonna be fun. So in advance of that, if you're on a platform that allows for liking the stream, that would be awesome. Please do that. If you want to send us any comments, tweets, super chats, and all that, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, Yaz, you ready to start the show?
I'm ready. I'm ready when you
are. Okay. I too am ready. So why don't we dive into this? It's not often that you get an absolute perfect metaphor for something in politics, but I believe we found it when it comes to the climate. Take a look at this video of something that just happened recently in Hawaii. You're seeing there, fancy little get together, a little party by the beach. You know, you do these parties so you can see the waves, usually from far away, but not always from far away. Sometimes they come to the party too. Yeah. So that's a thing that happened. You know, in part because of climate change. As the oceans get higher, swells are gonna be more intense, storms are gonna be more intense, and you're gonna have things like that. But it's also kind of exactly how we as a society, and especially the upper classes, have dealt with climate change. It's like, oh no, I guess it's happening. I guess it's over there, but oh dear God, it's affecting us now. And so, yeah, as I just, you know, I don't love it in a very real sense, but you kind of love it in that. At least it becomes a little bit harder to deny. For instance, in videos like this.
Yeah, this video, I think I actually posted it on my Instagram because it was a little triggering for me. This is a recurring nightmare that I have, is just like there's a wall behind me and there's a huge wave coming over. And I don't know what that says about me or my psyche, but it is a very real reality and we're seeing it now. And what's so crazy about it is that we first saw a lot of these climate issues over 100 years ago, right? We knew that what we were doing with fossil fuels was going to overheat the planet and all these negative things were going to start happening. But it was like, in the future. But now it's here. And we still have politicians who are gaslighting us and telling us that this isn't a real problem. It's not because of the fossil fuel industry. And the thing is, we're actively living through all these things right now, and they're still denying it to us. So it's not just the science. These are our lived experiences that they're saying, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Exactly.
It's
fine. 100%. Yeah, I want to show people a little bit more evidence of this. Let's go to the second video.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was over the houses, which I don't think that's how it's supposed to work with waves, but it does now. And look, there have been waves before. There have always been waves. There have been storms before. There have been droughts before and mudslides before and wildfires before. All of those things are true. And that reality will often be thrown out in the wake of these horrific things that we're seeing on a daily basis, everywhere around the world. The issue is that how often they happen, the frequency, and how terrible they are, the severity, that is where it is getting worse and worse and worse. So bad that it's effectively indisputable. And some are responding to that by declaring this the new normal. And I get the inclination to do that. It feels responsible to say this isn't a random extreme thing. This is the new normal. This is a thing that happens all the time. But at the same time, there are issues with that phraseology. Take a look at what Greta Thunberg had to say about this. This is not the new normal, she says. Attached to this image of a heat wave going on across Europe. The climate crisis will continue to escalate and get worse as long as we stick our heads in the sand and prioritize profit and greed over people and planet. We are still sleepwalking towards the edge. So it is normal, yes, that terrible things are happening. And if that gets people to realize that climate change is not a thing that's gonna happen in 2075, it's happening right now to billions and billions of people, then that's important. But understand, it's not a new status quo. It's just gonna get worse every single month, every summer. And for now though, let's check in on how bad it is. The UK today broke its national record for the highest temperature ever registered, 104.36 degrees Fahrenheit. And I am only assuming that that's the peak for today. We're of course broadcasting somewhat early in the morning. Maybe it will get worse, but that is a record. It's the hottest temperature that has ever been recorded in the UK. They were saying at one point it might have been the hottest temperature on Earth at that particular point, which is not supposed to happen in London. That's not how this is supposed to work. And we're gonna get into a lot more about this, Yaz, but I know you've probably been following this Euro heat wave, and it's been absolutely devastating. Well over 1,000 people dead already.
Yeah, and I seem to remember either last year or the year before, there was another similar heat wave in the UK that a lot of people were dealing with. And you know, you and I both live in southern states, so it might be hard to remember at times, but a lot of places in the north, specifically countries like the UK, they don't have centralized air everywhere. And John, you and I both moved from Connecticut to Texas at some point in our lives. And when I was moving, this was back in the year 2000, everyone was like, how are you gonna deal with the heat? It's crazy that people live down there. And I was like, well, you know, you have AC in your home, you have it in your car, you have it in your office, it's not a big deal. But what we don't talk about is the burden that that is, not just on our own pocketbooks financially, but on the planet, right? We're expending all this energy just to live in a way that is not in concert with nature. And frankly, it's unsustainable, and we're seeing that play out right now. And then the idea that this is the new normal, it's crazy, because not only does it encourage complacency, but it implies that nothing can nor will get done about any of this. Nothing's going to change, just get used to it.
At the very least, the new abnormal. There ain't nothing normal about any of this. It's been somewhat normalized, but I don't accept that, and neither do you, and I don't think that we should. As you said, only about 3% of homes in the UK have air conditioning. That's true for many countries in Europe. Yeah. It's true for a good portion of places in the US. It doesn't seem like in LA it's nearly as common as it was, you know, growing up in Connecticut. It's expected that you would have air conditioning in Connecticut. In some places it might be difficult and expensive to renovate homes to have AC. Oh, in others it's just not possible. And we are not talking about it's gonna be hotter and oh, that's unfortunate, you get sweaty. No. It is intolerable. It is unlivable. People are literally dying because their bodies can't live in these conditions. And we, in when I say we, I mean our government, not necessarily us, in deciding that this is acceptable, which is what they're doing when they do nothing to change it, they're saying having an ever increasing number of days where significant portions of the Earth's surface will no longer tolerate human life. That's the decision that they've made. And they will continue to make that decision for personal profit until we make that untenable for them. But really fast, I wanna read one more quote about this. This is climate scientist Simon Lee pointed out 3 of the 4 hottest days in UK history have occurred during the last 4 years. says these temperatures are occurring with only 2 degrees Fahrenheit of global warming, and we are on track for 4 degrees Fahrenheit more warming over this century. I literally cannot imagine how bad that will be. And I doubt that anyone in the audience needs to know this, but just in case, when we talk about hitting like 2 degrees warming, that does not mean, oh, the temperature's 2 degrees hotter. That's not preferable, but how bad? No, that's the average. At some points in the year, it won't be 2 degrees hotter, it'll be less. At some points, it'll be much more. An average is not an indication of your daily experience. The heat waves will be far, far, far worse if we reach that point. And it's looking more and more like we're going to. Any more thoughts? Yes.
Oh, yeah. And we are seeing that. And another thing that I don't think we've touched on yet is the idea of climate refugees, which we are already seeing as people who are living in very, very hot climates, such as the Indian subcontinent, let's say, right? So India, Pakistan, even Sri Lanka. You can't live there anymore. It's too hot to function. Even here in Texas, we have triple digit days pretty regularly these days. And during the day, I just don't go outside because you can't do anything. And even if you go run errands, even if you're going from your home to your car, to your office or to the grocery store or whatever, it's so draining just being out there. And I know that sounds more like an inconvenience than anything, but the reality is that we have seen people who live in extreme climates who they're, like you said, their bodies cannot live there. They can't actually function there. And we're seeing those things happen more and more often, not just here in the United States, but around the world. It's not a problem that's going to go away. But I did speak a little bit about this in the last video that I did for Rebel HQ, but there's a difference between individualism and collectivism, right? And a lot of times we live our lives insulated from the problems of the world, right? So you hear about something going on in the government, but your own day to day doesn't really change a whole lot. And you see that in the case with like Joe Manchin, who lives in basically a nature preserve, and he has all the best air and all the best water and all the best fishing that his heart could desire. But the rest of his state is covered in coal dust, right? But it's not his problem. So that's the problem for the rest of us.
Obviously, I've been incredibly frustrated with Joe Manchin and others. He's their figurehead. He's the one that's most public about it, but incredibly frustrated with Joe Manchin for deciding that his own short-term personal profit, the idea that for the remaining 15 years that he's got on this earth, he needs more money that he can't spend. He already has more money than he'll ever spend. He wants even more imaginary money. And if you and your families and perhaps, you know, millions or billions of people need to suffer or die for him to have that, that's a decision that he's made. Damn Biden, damn his promises about the climate. It's whatever Joe Manchin wants it to be. You would imagine that Joe Biden might be angry about this. And apparently he is, although this is how it was phrased to Fox News. They're reportedly fuming over Manchin, but trying their hardest not to show it, because that would be unacceptable. It's acceptable to doom future generations to climate apocalypse. It would be unacceptable to show that you're mad. A Democratic operative told Fox News that Manchin is ridiculous and said that he plays games and is a bad actor. Oh, don't hurt him too hard. Identifying that he's a bad actor. Come on, seriously, let's have some fair play here. He says, source for Politico says, the president has told confidants that while he understands Manchin represents a deep red state, he can't fathom why he keeps torpedoing the party's best laid plans. I hope for the sake of Joe Biden that that is a lie. I hope that they are lying to us that he can't fathom. Why would Joe Manchin? I can't come up with any reason why the guy who owns a coal company wouldn't want regulation on the fossil fuel industries. I can't imagine why a guy who gets more money than any other politician from fossil fuel manufacturers, the coal miners specifically, miners generally, power companies, he's in like the top three. Why would he be killing their climate? I can't fathom it. I'm Joe Biden. I have spent the last 60 years in politics and I can't fathom it. I hope it's because his brain is literally boiling in his skull from the climate change Joe Manchin is so perfectly fine with that he can't fathom it. They say it's a restraint rooted less out of a desire to play nice than the recognition of political reality The last time they took a whack at Manchin, it backfired spectacularly, causing a months-long break in negotiations around a pared-down plan, which is an interesting narrative to lay out for what happened last year. Of course, it does require you to believe that Manchin was ever going to do any of that stuff. And so it's convenient to lay out the, well, we can't pressure him because then he'll back off. What is he doing right now that you're so afraid he'll back off from? How about another possibility? If you were to actually pressure him, actually make clear who he was, if you were to take all of Democratic leadership and set them up in a Best Western in West Virginia for a few months and do endless press conferences and town halls about who Joe Manchin is, if you were to get thousands of people to rally outside of his house, outside of his yacht, outside of his coal company, outside of his GD cabin that we're going to be talking about in the nature preserve Yasmin was talking about, maybe something would come of it. And the worst case scenario that you could identify is that it might backfire. He might not support all of this stuff that he's in the process of not supporting. I'm not Joe Biden. I haven't been in politics for 60 years, but I would like to live for the next few decades. I know that that isn't something Joe Biden is super worried about. So maybe it would be worth trying a little bit of pressure. Maybe that would make him budge on a bit of this.
Yes, it's one of those John rants that we were talking about before the show. But I mean, I do feel like the Biden administration has chosen to exemplify like this cool Joe Biden from the Obama administration, you know, the guy who used to jog around the White House wearing his aviators. But the thing is, they need to get mad. They need to fight harder for the people who put them in office, right? These are the people whose rights are being stripped away, whose planet is being destroyed by all these people with, you know, financial interests and things. And these are the people that Joe Biden is trying to play nice with. And it's not going to work. It's not going to endear people to the Democratic Party. And if the Democrats want to win future elections, they need to fight harder for these people, us, for us. They need to fight harder for us.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And they can do that just for political pragmatism, just to stay in office. That's fine. It's ideal for me. I believe that all of our investment in politics, our activity should be based on our values. But if they just want to do it to stay in office, that would be one thing. Also, they could do it because they all love to pretend that they care about their kids and their grandkids. They love to pick them up for pictures and then kiss them on the cheek and then put them down and then send them off to a future where they're going to be, I don't know, hunting in the scrap heap that used to be Manhattan to find copper wiring or something. Like, why don't they care? We need to make them care or replace them. If they can't be budged, get them the hell out of there. It's a difficult task. They have so much money that they've made in large part from dooming us to a Mad Maxian future, but we gotta try. And I wanna briefly mention, because we've talked about this, great reporting at The Intercept about Joe Manchin and the money that he has been able to allocate for maintaining a pristine environment, not around the country and certainly not around the world. He doesn't give a damn about that, but he does care about the immediate environment around the places that he chooses to vacation. So he and his wife, Gail Manchin, have directed millions of federal dollars to a small pristine valley in West Virginia where the couple owns a condo. Hundreds of miles north of the coal communities decimated by the mountaintop removal mining that Manchin fostered in the state, the Manchin's Canaan Valley residence sits in an unadulterated watershed surrounded by the Dolly Sods Wilderness, the Canaan Valley National Wildlife Refuge, and Blackwater Falls State Park. It sounds delightful. And he wanted to keep it so. So in 2018, he used a spot on the Senate Appropriations Committee to secure $7 million to rebuild the visitor center there. It's less than a mile from his condo, by the way, and he's had fun over the years. Back in 2019, he posted this photo of him getting in some great trout fishing. You see, just in case you're watching this a couple decades from now, what he's standing in is a river. Those probably don't exist anymore. But at that point, it was a body of water, runoff from rain and glaciers and stuff like that, where animals could and did in fact live. And he just loves it. He's got a trout and everything. You're probably going to be desperately trying to find food on a planet that no longer can sustain agriculture and desperately looking for fresh water. But at one point, he found it fun to just go get some fish. And if you want more details about all this money, here's a screenshot of the front page of that Intercept article. Great work there by Daniel Boguslaw, I think his name is right there. But anyway, take a look at the details. It's insane that we allow it, yes. Like, they're just living it up, going out on their yachts and having fun. And people are literally dying in the streets in countries around the globe.
Yeah, and when you say we allow it, who are you talking about specifically? It's like there's only so much that you and I can do about it.
I put this on you.
Frustrating, you know? Like,
I know.
I mean, I can't do anything about Joe Manchin and what he's doing. Like, I'm doing this with you right now, and hopefully this is making a difference. But it's kind of what I was talking about earlier, that cognitive dissonance between the life that we lead as individuals versus what else is going on in the planet. And not only in the planet, but in Joe Manchin's own state. And yes, Joe Manchin represents a deep red state, as Joe Biden mentioned, but that deep red state thought that they were electing a blue Democrat as their senator. It's not their fault that they got duped, but they're getting screwed over for it time and time again. And if that isn't an indication that people see the climate writing on the wall, then I frankly don't really know what is, especially in a state like West Virginia that knows the negative impacts that the fossil fuel industry can have on the air, on the land, on the water, on the people. They know all that firsthand, and they wanted change, and they got Joe Manchin instead.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look, there are and there have been people who are trying, you know, Extinction Rebellion. They just smashed the windows of Rupert Murdoch's London office trying to draw attention to, you know, the climate denial and disinformation coming from his outlets for a long time, but look, they're going to keep doing this as long as they're able to do it. As long as they're able to profit on it, as long as they're legally able to do this stuff. And we need to start to question, why are some of these things legal? Why is it legal to own a private jet? And maybe you think, well, wait, what do you mean? Why wouldn't it be legal to own a private jet? There are plenty of types of transportation that aren't legal. If I wanted to attach flamethrowers to the side of my car and drive around, I can't do that. Why? Because it might injure someone. It wouldn't necessarily injure anyone. They could stay away, right? But it might injure someone. If I were to put chains on the back of my Scion and have chainsaws in the back and then just drive around all willy-nilly, it's not legal, okay? Because it might hurt someone. Private jets do not might anything. They do. They put tons and tons of needless additional emissions into the atmosphere, which contributes to climate change as well as all sorts of respiratory illnesses. Literally millions of people die every single year from that particulate matter, from the pollution that they put out. But it's allowed because they're rich and because they're the elites. Why are you able to make money selling coal, selling natural gas, selling oil? Why is any of this legal? Because the people who are powerful are the ones who are benefiting from it. We need to take that away from them. They're doing this for profits. Take back the profits. Confiscate the money that they've made off of all of this. And I know nobody is proposing this in politics. It's a long way off. But this is our future. It's not theirs. They're just enjoying brie and wine in the last couple of years of their life. They're going to be gone soon. We're stuck with the earth. So we're going to have whatever future we fight for. And it's super difficult on so many issues, this perhaps more than any other, but we gotta prioritize it. We gotta center it in our politics because this heat wave is bad. And next year we're gonna do videos. Maybe Aspen will be on for them and it'll be worse. It'll be 2,000 people dead. And the year after that'll be worse. We're gonna keep updating the hottest ever temperature in London. It ain't gonna be fun. It's just not gonna be fun.
And you're talking about private jets, but now we have private rocket ships. So like they've gone so far beyond because all of this is so unregulated to the point that we have private spaceships now with billionaires just going to space and taking up their friends just for fun, regardless of how much it's damaging our atmosphere and it's hurting our people. And I read something the other day, and I'm sorry that I don't remember where I read it, so I can't cite it. But somebody was saying that it's easier for Americans specifically to imagine the end of the world rather than the end of capitalism. And it's kind of like what you were talking about, isn't it? It's the idea that they're never going to regulate it. They're never going to make it unprofitable for these rich people to have private jets or to, you know, stump for the coal industry of all industries, the coal industry. So we'll see where this goes. Like I personally agree with you. I don't think that anything is going to change unless the money changes hands and until it is unprofitable to be against the planet.
Yeah, wow. Do you remember who said that quote?
No, I was trying to remember and I can find it for you, but it's pretty good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready for like planetary banishment for these CEOs. You can keep whatever you have, your paintings and your Rolls Royces and all that that you can put on a rocket.
Mars.
And then you can get the hell out of here. It's a one-way trip. You can't come back. You can keep any of that. The rest we should take back. You got it by killing people. And you got it knowing that it would kill far more. We're not gonna take it out on you. We're not gonna be as violent as you were, but you need to get the hell out of here. You can take whatever you can pack on your goddamn spaceship and then get off our planet because we actually care about its future.
It's what they wanted, so.
That's fine. Elon Musk, stop talking about Mars and go. Go already.
So it's not our problem anymore.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I am Sophie's problem and she's about to lose it on me. So we're gonna end this block. We're gonna go to our first break. Stick around, there's a lot more where that came from. People are talking about which US cities might be experiencing this soon. I mean, yeah, Miami's gonna be really hard hit. And as we've said so many times, ocean rise is not about, oh, it's 0.2 inches higher now. It's not about the average again. It's about what that does to the extremes. 1 inch extra at the extremes during the storm surges, it ain't 1 inch. It's way, way worse. And the thing about, you don't abandon a city when it's 1 inch underwater. You abandon a city when 2 months out of the year it's underwater. And that is what we're racing towards way before we're like literally canoeing during June through Manhattan. Manhattan is gonna be very hard hit. Anyway, with that said, we've got some important news to get to. So, it's difficult, dark stuff. So bear that in mind as we launch into this.
It's so angry that I was treated this way because of laws that were passed that by men who have never been pregnant and never will be.
Stell's nightmare started out as a dream come true. After months of trying, she became pregnant late last summer.
We were super excited because we didn't think I could get pregnant.
An ultrasound at 7.5 weeks showed all was well. But at an ultrasound 2 weeks later,
she said, there is no heartbeat. There is no viable pregnancy.
Stell asked her doctor for a standard treatment, a surgery to remove the fetal remains. She says her doctor refused. That surgery, commonly known as a DNC, is the same procedure used to abort a living fetus.
She said, well, because of the new law that's passed, you're going to have to get another ultrasound for me to be able to even do anything for you.
Yeah, this is not news from the future. This isn't from The Handmaid's Tale. It's not from 2026 after the DeSantis administration. No, this is right now. This is already happening. An unimaginable development in her life. So hard, so tough already. Nothing's gonna stop that. And we have decided to make it far, far worse, to make her carry around the remains of a fetus, of the pregnancy she lost for literally weeks because of the legal system that we've set up. We've got more. Take a look at this.
The pain would get so severe, it would be hard to walk.
She went to get a second invasive ultrasound at an imaging center, describing it later in a YouTube video.
Someone shoves a wand in my sensitive area and tells me, hey, you lost your baby again. I shouldn't have to go through that twice.
Even after that second ultrasound, mm-hmm. would your obstetrician give you the surgical procedure?
No. No.
Stell had to go get yet another ultrasound showing her dead fetus.
So you were walking around carrying a dead fetus.
And just emotionally carrying it around and just knowing that there's nothing you could do. It just feels very, it's like I can't grieve or move past it because I'm just walking around carrying it.
This is heartless. It's unimaginably cruel. You know, it's coming right after last week. We had the story of the 10-year-old that the right didn't care that she had been obligated by law to give birth to the product of rape. Well, now we have this. She's talking about having to emotionally and physically carry around the remains of this fetus. Now, emotionally having to do that is absolutely devastating. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. But let's also be clear, physically, incredibly, incredibly dangerous to force this on someone. Dr. Lillian Shapiro, an OBGYN, said this about forcing this to happen. She can develop an infection that can make her sterile and never able to have children again. When the baby dies inside, the baby starts to release parts of its tissue that can get into the mother's blood supply. It can cause organ failure, it can cause death. So let's be clear, this isn't about life when you're risking a mother dying after she's already lost her kid. Okay, this isn't about choice, the fetus died. Like none of this fits in any way to the supposed values reasons that they've given for forcing this horrible situation. She had to wait 2 weeks, Yasmin. It is so unimaginable and it is already, this is not hypothetical, this is not in the future. This has already happened in Texas.
Yeah, it's fun being a woman in Texas. And I remember Marlene. I used to watch her, and I think that a lot of women my age probably remember her quite fondly. She was pretty big in the early 2000s, I think. And, you know, also I live in Texas, and I'm a woman who is 33 and a half years old. And unfortunately, Marlena's story exemplifies my biggest fear now, because as I'm 33 now and I'm thinking about whether or not I even want to or can afford to have kids in this country, especially in Texas, what if something went wrong, right? Then all my options that I had before are no longer my options, right? I would have to leave the state, and thankfully I have the means to do so, but so many people don't. And even if they don't, even if they do, that shouldn't be the case, right?
Yeah.
We shouldn't be put in a position where our own bodies are being weaponized against us. And the thing with carrying a fetus for 2 weeks is horrifying. And I'm sorry if this is too graphic, but most women know you can't even leave an old tampon inside of you for too long without the serious risk of infection. Walking around with a fetus inside of you that is no longer living is horrifying. And as a doctor pointed out, I mean, it has dire consequences for the woman for the rest of her life that she'll never be able to recover from.
Yeah, 100%. I'm glad that you also referenced that it, like, go to a different state is not the solution. For some, it might be. That is not the solution. I understand the, like, some people are angry about what's going on, and so that's the thing that you throw out knee jerk. That is, like, let's remember the times that we live in, how rough they have been, the years that have just passed. That is not a solution. And we cannot come to tolerate an idea that you might have some rights, some basic human decency, if you're in the right spot in America, but we're gonna surrender huge sections to absolute barbarism. That is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. Now I wanna read a little bit of what Marlena had to say about this after her experience. She says, I'm sorry if this is offensive or hurts people's feelings, but the hardest conversations are the one most important to have. My husband and I decided to not try for more children while in the state of Texas because of the care I received here. Texas is a beautiful state with so many amazing people. However, the heartbeat bill puts doctors and pregnant women at risk for getting medical care they need in a timely manner. If a woman miscarries and cannot pass the fetus naturally, she needs to expel it medically. A DNC has, for me, in a previous miscarriage, been the safest way to prevent sepsis. If a pregnant mom goes septic, she can die in literally hours. Meanwhile, it takes days to get multiple ultrasounds and or just legal clearance for doctors to perform a DNC, thus putting pregnant women at risk while they wait. In addition, there's the emotional toll of doing that as well. Also, by the way, having to do multiple different medical procedures across multiple days, incredibly difficult for people who are working one job, let alone two or three. Also, none of that is free in America. So it's a massive additional cost that no one can actually justify. And the right isn't even going to try to. They're not gonna be engaging with the story. They're not gonna be covering it. They're gonna deny if they don't just ignore outright the same way they did with that 10-year-old in Ohio. This is the reality of what they have created, and they're going to hide from it because they know no rational, compassionate person would accept this as a status quo in America.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying when you get to a point in society where you have to convince other human beings of your own humanity and the fact that not only are we walking, talking, somehow conscious, flesh, blood, and electricity, but we have feelings, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you mentioned that and I'm glad Marlena mentioned it, because all the stuff that women are going through, it's not just an incredible physical toll on our bodies, but emotionally, you know, and especially in Marlena's case, she wanted that pregnancy, she wanted that baby. She was put in a position where it was harmful to her body to have it. And for a lot of women, myself included, that's the fear now. You know, that's the fear of if I get pregnant in Texas and God forbid something goes wrong, what am I gonna do? You know, am I gonna be made infertile for the rest of my life and I can't even try again later, even if I move to another state? It's ridiculous.
Exactly, and the idea that that would be the outcome of their supposed desire for more children.
Yeah, and the most advanced country kids in the world, yeah.
Exactly, in a country that even before all of these new legal developments didn't give a damn about the maternal death rate and all of that.
And that's particularly bad here in Texas as well. We already had a really bad track record with maternal fatalities.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah, and by the way, there are some people that they quote, the AP quotes Dr. Jesse and Munoz, the idea that, well, but there will be exceptions at least to save the mother, or whatever. Oh, does that seem cut and dried to you? oh, that's, well, yeah, no, if life is at risk, then they'll just stop it. Is that cut and dried? What is the likelihood in any individual case that the life will be lost? It's not gonna be 100%, it could be 99, it could be 40%. Where do you draw that line? Well, sorry, not where do you draw that line. Where do you draw that line when the risk of drawing it in the wrong place could land you in jail or fine you for tens of thousands of dollars? Are you gonna draw that in the place that risks everything to you but maximizes the chance that your patient won't die? Or will you start to worry about your legal future, your financial future? That fear that you'll be feeling, by the way, is baked into the system intentionally because they don't want this exception to be used. But that is what's gonna actually happen. There was a study, doctors at two Texas hospitals, they cited cases of 28 women less than 23 weeks pregnant who were treated for dangerous pregnancies. They noted that all the women had recommended abortions delayed by 9 days because of fetal heart activity was detected, because supposedly the fetal heart activity, we're supposed to believe that that has some sort of scientific relevance. It doesn't mean anything, but it does mean something legally. And so of those, nearly 60% developed severe complications, nearly double the number of complications experienced by patients in other states who have immediate therapeutic abortions. Of 8 live births among the Texas cases, 7 died within hours. The 8th, born at 24 weeks, had severe complications, including brain bleeding, a heart defect, lung disease, and intestinal and liver problems. So almost always the fetus would have died anyway. We are going to now risk the life of the mother as well, and certainly her health, severe complications. We can dive into what those severe complications are, a lifetime of pain and difficulty and medication and operations, the additional cost of that, because we would care enough to do that. They don't care. They've created this status quo, but they don't care to actually engage with it.
Yeah, and this is the party that wants smaller government. They want less government intervention in people's lives and in people's jobs. So what we're seeing here is a disconnect between science and scientists and doctors who have spent years of their lives not only studying but practicing medicine on actual patients, on people, versus these politicians who speak in hypotheticals and who want to regulate something that they can't possibly understand the same way that these doctors do, right? Mm-hmm. And so now we have people who can't make the best decisions for themselves. You have doctors who can't offer their own expert opinion without potentially getting thrown in jail for it. And here in Texas, we are seeing that it has closed abortion clinics already. We have seen doctors who are choosing not to see certain patients anymore because it will put them in legal jeopardy. And you can't really blame them for it. You know, if treating a certain patient means that their entire life will financially collapse, it will give you pause, and you can't blame them for it because it's not their fault that they were put into this position. The reasons why most doctors that I know personally became doctors wasn't because they wanted to cater to the whims of the GOP, right? They became doctors because they wanted to actually help people. And a lot of my doctor friends, whenever they can't help people the way that they feel like they should be able to, it's heartbreaking for them. You know, they have all these rules and regulations about what they can prescribe to people, what kind of procedures they can perform on people, what kind of legal rights they have. But at the end of the day, the only thing that should matter in medicine is the health of the patient and what's best for the patient. But we don't have that here in this country.
Agreed. Okay, we're gonna take our last break of this first hour, but don't go anywhere. We've got a hell of a story coming up after this. Okay. We're gonna talk about something truly gross. Marjorie Greene is angry because a tweet of hers was hidden. Not taken down, mind, just hidden. She tweeted, "Twitter says this tweet violated rules about hateful conduct. I can't imagine anything more hateful than promoting gender reassignment surgeries for children." So that gives you a bit of a heads up of what this is gonna be about. We're gonna show you the tweet, but I wanna warn you, even for Marjorie Greene, this is horrendous. This is so unacceptably disgusting and horrible. But here's what she tweeted. She had a video of Rachel Levine. She says, "We must do everything we can to prevent Dr. Dick Levine's preteen hashtag weenie chop." That is so many things at the same time. It is dead naming an individual there who we've talked about previously, pediatrician, 4-star admiral, and currently serving as Biden's assistant secretary for health. So it's a dead naming. It's also just about the worst possible way that you could talk about gender affirming surgery, or even just if you look at the content of the video, just gender affirming acknowledgement, emotional support. Marjorie Greene jumps to, we have to stop the weenie chop. And she is a representative. And this, and what we got was they hid it. They said it's still in the public interest. And maybe a case could be made. Understanding who we have in elected office is important. Knowing how purposefully, intentionally cruel and awful they can be. Maybe that is in the public interest. I would say what is more in the public interest is getting her the hell out of elected office as fast as possible, as well as anyone who shares her hateful ideology. But Yaz, what do you think? Yaz, you're muted. You're muted right now, yes. I don't know if you can hear me.
Oh, I did the J.R. Jackson thing that I was warning him about.
That's sort of his thing. You shouldn't feel that.
I'm taking it. What was I even saying? Yeah, so regarding the transgender community, you know, there's a lot of opportunity for education around this particular community, right? Because it's something that a lot of people aren't used to yet. And there are so many teachers and activists out there who are working to do just that. But members of the GOP, like MTG, they're not even trying to understand the lives of people who are different from them or who are unlike them. But even if you don't agree with the Biden administration's stance on transgender children and teenagers and people who are going through something that not just physically, but psychologically is something that most of us can't even comprehend, that doesn't mean you get to bully them while they're going through something, right? And that doesn't mean that you get to oppose legislation that might actually help a very already vulnerable population.
I know. I'm being naive. I'm being like, why am I being so stupid in being surprised by this at all? But she's a public figure. So many people follow her, and I can't imagine if you're a young person, a young trans person, a person who's thinking about your identity, who's trying to figure things out. I can't imagine what it would make you feel like to see this sort of thing from someone who has power. Who might in a few months be in the majority, who might be determining like their legislative future. I cannot imagine using a position like this for this cruelty. And we can debate whether it's worse if she's doing it because she actually does hate trans people as much as she would have you believe, or if like for many Republicans, like for Ron DeSantis, they're willing to like literally like they don't care how many people die in this community from what they're saying. Just so they can have a majority and they can pass some tax cuts, or they can keep businesses from being regulated or whatever. Those are both disgusting in their own unique ways. But we have to cover a lot of really gross stuff on this show. But there's something about that tweet, man, that really stands out to me. And we're so far into this, there's not gonna be any censure. There's nobody even pushing for her to be kicked out of office. And even if they did, it wouldn't happen. This is how low we've sunk as a society and as a government.
Yeah, and it's one thing to not agree with the person's lifestyle. It's another thing to not understand what a person is going through, what their feelings, what their emotions are, what their body is telling them. But it's another thing entirely to go out of your way to demonize these people and to turn others against them, right? You're attacking them for the way that they're choosing to lose their life, as if life isn't hard enough for most of us, right? Life is already difficult. That's an incredibly difficult layer to add on top of a difficult life, right? Especially in this country, especially when your rights are being, you know, threatened by people like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
100%. Look, she had more insane things to say. Maybe we'll talk about them on tomorrow's show. We're unfortunately running out of time. So why don't we jump ahead to our D block with what we have remaining in this hour? You want to give me the heads up when we're okay with that? Okay. Let's see. Esoteric Dragon sent in a super chat saying, I live in Texas. My wife, 30, and I, 31, don't want children. My wife considered a hysterectomy in 5 years or so due to SCOTUS decision and what may come. We've moved the timeline to September, shaking my head. Yeah, I just actually saw something about this particular clinic that does sterilizations. They've had like record numbers of people coming in saying, you know, I can't continue to have the capacity in this world, like considering what might happen to me.
Well, I've said often, I frankly don't think the Department of Education should exist. And that would get rid of a lot of the...
Did that play well?
Not necessarily with the staff there, but with a lot of folks outside of Washington, it does. You know, because really, for any of the creative, you know, reforms that we advanced, we really had to essentially work around most of the career staff because there were very few who would actually get the work done that needed to be done.
So that's Betsy DeVos. There shouldn't be a Department of Education. Some people in the chat are saying, well, why didn't she say that before she took the job? No, but that's why she got the job. That's why she was the head of the Department of Education. She was chosen in the same way that the heads of HUD and the EPA were chosen, because they do not agree with, they will not tolerate the missions of those agencies. They're there to stop it from working, which is a stopgap before it's actually gonna be just destroyed. So her, a former head of the Department of Education, thinking that it shouldn't exist, that's bad enough. The fact that in the future it might not exist is worse. You have politicians like Lauren Boebert tweeting in response to that video, I signed on to legislation with Thomas Massie saying exactly that. We need to get this done. And yes, they did that. There were a number of co-signers, Boebert and Matt Gaetz and all that. And it seems insane to get rid of the Department of Education. But if they get the majority in Congress and possibly the Senate, which they are likely to do this year, if they take over the White House, which it seems like there's a pretty good chance that's gonna happen in 2024, why wouldn't they do that? What would stop them from literally just destroying it, sending education back to the states? Now, maybe they will try to convince you that that's a good thing. Then states will be freed up to do whatever they want. Let me ask you a question. Has anything ever been sent back to the states and that resulted in it being better? Like literally anywhere, anything? Your rights, when those are sent back to the states, do you end up with more or less of them? No, that's what they're gonna do with education. Lauren Boebert cannot wait for the Department of Education to be destroyed, for states to be freed up to pull funding. They don't want educated kids, and they have the means to make that so. Yes, what do you think?
Oh yeah, educated people are problematic people for the GOP especially, because the more educated you are on something, the more critical thinking you have about something, the more you're able to come to your own conclusions and the less likely you are to fall for certain propaganda, right? And a lot of the GOP, almost their entire platform these days seems to be based on propaganda, right? And it seems to be based on the idea that you live here, but there's a whole world out there that you don't know about, and so you should be afraid of it, right? Not that you should want to learn more about it, but that you should be afraid of it. And that's a problem, because people who vote based on fear tend to vote for the GOP, right? They're afraid of immigrants, they're afraid of radical free thinkers on the left, they're afraid of, you know, communism. I don't even know what they're afraid of anymore at this point, but it seems to be a lot, right? Through education, you are exposed to various different people. Just from going to college, you meet so many different people, right? Just from being out of your hometown, you meet people, you see things, you have experiences that help you to understand the world a little bit better. But even before college, even in high schools and in junior highs and elementary schools, you're exposed to different people that you have to learn how to interact with, and you have to learn how to understand, or else you can't interact with them, right? You can't function within this bubble that you have in your own home with your own family or in your own church or something like that. And we've seen this happening pretty consistently over the past few years with the GOP trying to demonize public education, right? They're pushing for charter schools, they're pushing for private schools and Christian schools and homeschooling, all these things to get people out of the public school system. And instead of trying to bolster the public school system, as we should be doing, because Americans already perform way worse than other countries in Europe, other developed nations similar to ours, right, with similar demographics, our students are already the bottom of the barrel when it comes to that kind of stuff. Instead of trying to remedy that issue and to understand why Americans are less educated than our counterparts across the sea, they're trying to make it worse. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, they don't have to get rid of the Department of Education to do that. She was meeting up at this conservative education summit. They're figuring out how to take over school boards to destroy them from within. So yes, they do want to do it top down, but they are already, they're a couple of years into taking over all these school boards. So get active in your area.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.